For this evening's Bible reading, we're going to be reading two sections of the Bible, Mark chapter 4 from verses 1 to 20, and then we're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 to 13. So if you want to follow along in the pew Bibles that are in front of you, Mark chapter 4 is on page 814, and we're going to read through to verse 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times that was sown." And then continue on from Isaiah, we're reading from chapter 6, verse 1 to 13, which is on page 557 of the Pew Bibles. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voice, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.' Then I said, 'For how long, Lord?' And he answered, 'Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leaf stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. That's the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Cameron, for sharing the Bible reading with us this evening. Hello, my name is James, and I'll just check with Greg, because he's being kind this evening and trying something a little new and trying to share this sermon with some people who are watching on from a distance. So is everything going well, Greg? Perfect. Thank you very much. So I'll just open with a word of prayer before we look at the parable of the sower. Dear God, thank you for your word that you have revealed yourself to us in and through it. I pray that this evening we'll be people with ears to hear and that you will open our hearts that we may be ones that understand your word and I commit these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So where have we been over the past few weeks? So since the start of January, we've been looking at Mark chapter, working our way through the starting chapters of Mark, going through Mark chapter 1, where Ben looked at John the Baptist and Jesus and the preparation that they were going through and the way God was working in and through their lives. As we thought about the start of a new year and thinking about how we were preparing for the year to come. And then the second week, end of January, where we looked at Mark 2, Caitlin made us think about what our greatest need is, looking at how Jesus healed the paralyzed man and also forgave him of his sins, much to the dismay of the Pharisees. To highlight to us that Jesus came here to heal the sick and not for those who are healthy. And to remind us that Christ came to save us from our sins. And then Mark 3, which was last week, Ben looked at Jesus healing in the temple on the Sabbath and looking at how dismayed the Pharisees were about that, and thinking about the ways and things that happen in our life that are things that are potentially opposition, or they could be opportunities with the way that God works in and through our lives. So that leads us into this week, where we look at Mark 4 and the parable of the sower. And for the context and the reason why Isaiah chapter 6 was part of the Bible reading was because in Isaiah 6 verses 9 to 10, they're quoted in the parable, in the passage, whilst Jesus was talking about what was going on with the people who are his audience, who are listening to him. And reading through biblical commentaries, trying to understand what that meant, was the best I could come up with from the answer, from my interpretation of it, was that when people hear these parables, and the reason Jesus teaches in parables is that when people hear it but they do not understand it, if they do not believe when judgment comes, for somehow or some degree their punishment will be less because they haven't blatantly rejected God's word, because it was in a parable and it wasn't as clear as it could have been, which I thought was an interesting interpretation of it. So I'll leave that with you to discern through the scriptures. But here we are in the context of Mark 4, looking at that parable where Jesus is with a crowd so large that he has to go out on the boat in the water to be able to share with them. So imagine being out in Cronulla, having to go out on a boat because there's enough people around that you have to be heard to be by them, just off so that they can see you, and what that would look like. Quite an interesting sight to imagine. And the events leading up to this were also him teaching with authority in the temple, healing people, driving out impure spirits. So Jesus was gaining quite a reputation and a name for himself wherever he went. And this is why there was such a large crowd. And when we come to the parable of the sower, they were an agricultural society. They were farmers, and they brought and raised their crops. They were used to sowing seed. It was as common as we pick up phones today. It was something that was their part of their day-to-day life as they went about their day, day in and day out, that they would live off the land and eat the food that they produced. So they were familiar with stories about people and how they grew their crops. So Jesus shares with them a story about the crop. And one of the things as I was preparing for the talk that struck me was whenever I read the parable of the sower, I always wonder to myself, wouldn't it be so much easier if we could just sow on the good soil where the growth will come? Wouldn't it make our life so much easier if we knew immediately where that was? But doing my reading and my research, at that time, they used to sow their seed wherever possible just to see where it would grow. In the near Middle East, with the way the conditions were, they'd seek out the good ground by sowing seed and seeing where it fell. And then after they saw a crop grow, they would go to the good soil and harvest from it and then till that land. So they'd only figure out the good soil after they had sown. So this is the context that Jesus is sharing with these people about, and he uses these types of soil to tell these people about four different types of people and share that with them. And thankfully, Jesus, with his relationship and interactions with the disciples sometimes are like us, they don't understand, and Jesus is able to explain it to them. And thankfully, this is one of those parables where Jesus clearly goes through and explains what his parable is talking about for the disciples' benefit and our benefit now. So if we look at the path going from Mark chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So I was imagining what this would look like. And if people had something like chips down at Cronulla, have you all seen when you throw a chip out and the seagulls flock to it and try and take it away as quickly as possible just to feed themselves? The way that the devil is like a lion that prowls, and thinking of it a bird, that when people hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection to make them right with God, that the devil is able to come in and take that away from them, that they hearts are closed off and that they do not understand that and that they're blocked from it. And it also points to a deeper truth that a belief is necessary to salvation, so that when people do not know who God is, they will be separated from him. And it's something in our cultural context today where people often will have nice words to say about if someone is good enough, the afterlife will sort it out, or good people go to heaven. But when we look at the Bible and the words that they have, if we know that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned, no one is good enough for God. So it's important that we share that with people, and it's important that we pray for them as well. One of the most convicting questions I had someone ask last year coming out of a conference was, if every person that you had prayed for in the past week came to faith and came to their salvation, how many would that be? And reflecting upon that and the conversations that I had, and if it was any other week, how my attitude would be often one of self-reliance, of sharing that, and a limitation of myself with the way that I trust God to be working in people. But then it made me reflect in preparation of this that every time we wish to share the gospel with people, imagine if we prayed over that after we had done it and got to see how God was working after we had shared the gospel with people. Because we know that in Christ, Christ has conquered death and God reigns over the devil. So even if the devil does come and snatch one seed that was sown, there may be another in the future seed that was sown to them that does take root. And now to look at the rocky places, looking at Mark chapter 4, verse 16. Others, like seeds sown on the rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And something that struck me preparing this was how when people share the gospel, there is the temptation to make it as nice as possible and to focus as on all the good things as possible. And even to the extent that some people will go and make promises that just aren't in the Bible about people's prosperity and well-being, that someone who believes in God, their life will be transformed and that they'll be healthy, wealthy and wise and that they'll never encounter any trouble the rest of their days. But when we look at verses like Jesus calling us to take up our cross daily, we know that's something that is simply not true. But if someone hears the word of God and the good news, but does not know what the troubles and sufferings that may lie ahead are, because often it is very much a case of when and not if, with persecution that will come, they fall away. The gospel that they heard was one that was not the full gospel of Christ, and everything that comes with it, knowing God, knowing Jesus and his death and his sacrifice. And if we follow Christ, who is one who was suffered and persecuted here on earth whilst he was with us, why wouldn't we not be people who are also persecuted by following his example? And raise the question of when things that are difficult happen in life, do we run away from God? Or do we run to him? Are we people that see suffering and try and say, God, you are bad, you weren't who I thought you were, I'm not having anything to do with you? Or do you come back to him as a father who loves you dearly and cares about you and want and commit all those difficult things to him in prayer? How do you respond? Because the sad truth is people will hear the word and then fall away. They will receive it with joy, and then years later, if you were to meet them again, they may have nothing to do with God because of troubles and persecution that have come up in their life. And it's a sad reality that we get to see during our life. And moving on to those seeds sown among the thorns, from Mark chapter 4, verse 18. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And it's something that I think of for us, we are here in church. And this could be one of the things that is most dangerous for us, because we do know the word, but if something comes up to choke it, when will that be and what would that look like? We can never be certain. So it made me imagine a box, like if you're giving a child a Christmas present and they have the warnings, 1 to 3, choking hazard. There's so many good things in life that God gives us. Things like family, relationships, money, jobs. But if we love any one of those things more than God, well, we're going to be having people that have our loves out of order. We're going to have people where God is not our first love. And that means there's a risk that we need to repent and turn back to him and change our thinking about that, to turn back to God as our first love. Because when we have anything that we love more than God, it is something that is at risk of choking us spiritually. It's when we worship these counterfeit gods in our life that we are strangled. We do not produce fruit. And as we can read further on in the Bible, in the epistles, that we are to produce fruit in bearing with our repentance. And it's one of those things, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. It's something, a good thing, too much of that good thing can be hazardous to us. So we have to be aware of that as a choking hazard with the Word of God. But we're thankfully amongst brothers and sisters in Christ who are able to remind us gently and speak the truth in love to help guide us and build us up in faith. So thinking about the good soil from Mark 4, verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So when we know Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour, and we have a relationship right with God, we're able to have deep roots that are strong, a strong and firm foundation. So when we have times of suffering and struggle, that we are people who are able to run towards God, commit in those things to Him. We can look at the example of people like Job, who endured tremendous suffering, but was faithful to God throughout it all. And in that good soil, we're not one plant alone, we're amongst a crop in the body of Christ, in the church, that we're all part of God's family as brothers and sisters of Christ who are there to encourage us, lift us up, and help us to be able to grow. And it's something that I reflect on when I look at passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labour. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. We have, hopefully, God knows, is the only one who knows our heart, been planted in the good soil and know Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and that we have the ability to plant and water to those who are around us as our brothers and sisters in Christ and those in our life, that as we go to work each day, as we do whatever we do each day. And as part of that, we need to commit to prayer, God doing the growth, because we can put a literal seed in the ground, but we don't know that the thing that makes it grow, it's God working in and through that seed to make it grow, but we are responsible for what goes into it. We can plant the seed, we can be responsible for watering it, but God works through the miracle of growth. And in us, as God's people, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the Holy Spirit is transforming us and sanctifying us to be more like Christ. And that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can continue meeting together until the day of judgment to be able to encourage one another and build one another up in faith. And these are things that can happen that give God the opportunity to be working in us, renewing our mind and our hearts through the Holy Spirit, as we're putting to death our sinful ways, that we're putting them to death and leaving them dead, and the Spirit working in each of us to make us more like Christ day by day. And they're things that will be working in us to help produce a harvest, to produce a crop, to be whatever God needs us to be for wherever we are. And that may be a crop that has some 60, some 100 times what was originally so. And that's something that we commit to God. And it manifests itself in a life committed to God. Often it's a long obedience in the same direction as we seek to love and serve God and to do His will in whatever we do, and make disciples and be God's disciple in whatever we do. And an application of this for us here at Miranda Congregational in the year to come, as we start doing DNA groups, we'll have the opportunity to be meeting together and going through three things, because DNA is an acronym for discover, nurture, and act. So we'll have time together in those trios to discover Jesus in the scriptures, reading through God's word and looking at it in the light of our life, that we may nurture the truths of the gospels in our hearts, be able to ask each other questions about how the gospel applies to our own lives, and also share about how the gospel has been changing our hearts and our minds to make us more like Christ, as well as being able to take action to obey what Jesus calls us to with one another. And that's something that is an exciting opportunity that's coming up that will be starting in a few weeks. So I'd be encouraging you to think about how you are growing in God, how you are sowing seeds in your life around you with people who may already be Christian. You can be helping them grow with people who do not yet know the good news of Jesus Christ. You can be sharing with them as well and committing their growth to God and his work of the Holy Spirit in and through them. But I'd be encouraging and commending and inviting you to be signing up to DNA groups, finding someone to look at the Bible through and share your life with, and take those times that will be coming up in the weeks to come to be able to share your life with other brothers and sisters in Christ and commit things that are going on in your life to prayer to God. And I'll just close in prayer. Dear God, thank you that we know you are sovereign, that you are working in the lives of all those people around us, that your Holy Spirit is transforming and sanctifying each and every one of us day by day to be conformed to the image of Christ. I pray that as we go into the coming year and into the coming weeks and the coming days, that you would give us weed killer for all those things in our life that are weeds that could be choking the fruit of the gospel and the seeds that you have planted in our life. I pray that you would be protecting us from the devil as we share the gospel with those in our life. I pray that you would be making those moments in our life apparent to us, that the Holy Spirit would be prompting us with the words people in our life need to hear to be able to encourage them and share with them the glory of Jesus Christ and the light that the gospel gives that overcomes all darkness, that they may have hope of an eternity with Jesus Christ and a hope and a purpose in their life, in their love and service with you, Lord. And we trust in your sovereignty, that you will be working in ways that we can't even imagine according to your plan. And I pray that you'll be giving us the wisdom to know what it is, the courage to seek to do it, and the humbleness to be able to serve you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.